Hello and welcome to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard, speaking with returning guest, Dr. Richard Levitan. He's an airway specialist, and he's joining us here as co-founder and executive director of Prone to Help. He's going to talk with us about pulse oximetry and how it can help with early detection of COVID-19 symptoms. Welcome back to Health Professional Radio, Richard. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with you as a contributor, give us a little bit of background. I did, of course, mention that you're an airway specialist and that you're the co-founder and executive director of Prone to Help.
I've been practicing emergency medicine for about 30 years. For the last 25 or so, I've been teaching airway courses, specifically airway procedure courses, intubation courses to physicians worldwide. When COVID-19 emerged, I now live up in New Hampshire, but I went to New York and I spent early April in New York City. I observed then that patients with COVID presented in a rather unique fashion, something I'd never seen in my 30 years of doing emergency medicine, and that was they had extreme hypoxia. Their oxygen saturations were remarkably low, but yet their brains were working fine, and they were actually relatively symptomatic considering how bad their pneumonia was on chest x-ray, as well as how low their oxygen saturations were. And that got me really reflecting on what time course was involved with the disease and whether or not we could detect this earlier as a way to initiate earlier treatment and improve outcome. In mid-April, I wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, what I called silent hypoxia, that COVID was killing people because the disease causing pneumonia progressed rather dramatically in patients. And yet, although this occurred over many days, patients actually had few symptoms and they were unaware until they came in with very, very advanced pneumonia and were critically ill.
How is it that they can be this sick and so asymptomatic or low symptomatic that they come into the hospital 3, 4, 5, 10 days later?
Well, so the human body can accommodate tiny changes if they happen slowly, and the sum of those tiny changes can be rather dramatic. A normal pulse oximetry reading, if you're at sea level, is between 95 and 100%. I saw patients with COVID pneumonia, and in fact, I did just two nights ago, with pulse oximetry readings in the 50s. And normally, your brain could not tolerate this. We know from pilots, if you lose oxygen at extreme altitude, you know, 25,000 feet, that you will be unconscious in a matter of minutes. In my practice of 30 years of emergency medicine, I've seen patients whose oxygen drops, you know, either 10 or 15 percentage points down into the 80s, and they will pass out or they'll have seizures. So what was remarkable about this was not only how low their oxygen saturation was, but also that their brains were still working. And what we now realize about COVID is that as COVID advances in the lungs, it causes collapse of these small air sacs in the lungs, the alveoli. And as more and more alveoli are involved, large areas of the lung do not allow for absorption of oxygen. Patients accommodate by breathing faster, but it happens slowly over, I believe, 3 to 5 days or so. And they come in often with respiratory rates of 30, 40, and higher, and they don't even feel subjectively breathless. And that's because initially the lungs stay compliant. The patients can blow off their carbon dioxide. Even as their oxygen is falling, they are accommodating to this change. Eventually, however, though, the lungs get stiff and the patients can't keep up and they go into overt respiratory failure.
Now, Richard, I heard you mention pulse oximetry. This is where you're getting these critical readings. What is pulse oximetry? How does it work? And is it something that you can only take advantage of once you get to the hospital?
So pulse oximetry involves the use of light shining through a thin area of the body. So it's usually used on a fingertip. It can be used on an earlobe, or you can put it on a toe. But basically, you're shining light through the tip of the finger, and the way the light is shown through that tissue, this device essentially can determine the arterial blood flow based on pulsation. And as the light is absorbed, it calculates a oxygen saturation. It was invented in the 1970s. It's considered an essential vital sign. It is actually a requirement when you have surgery. It is mandatory that pulse oximetry be monitored. I use it, you know, in every patient we do conscious sedation on as a way to make sure that they are getting enough oxygen, even though we're giving them sedatives and pain medications and things. But it's basically a standard part of modern healthcare. It's used in every ambulance, used in at every triage desk, in every emergency department worldwide. The original device, you know, was made for hospitals, but a company in America called Nonin actually made this technology into a fingertip device that you can now buy in a pharmacy for $15-$20.
It's widely available, it's non-prescription, and it is effective in detecting low oxygen levels, which is crucial in the early detection of COVID pneumonia.
You know, COVID is really not one disease. You know, the public is hearing, and obviously if you're in healthcare, you're seeing these people who have severe pneumonia, who wind up in ventilators, who are crowding our ICUs with high morbidity and mortality. But there's another side of COVID. And what I mean by that is if patients who are known COVID positive monitor their oxygen levels, and the moment it's clear that their oxygen is going down, so, you know, it gets to 93% or lower, and then they come in, if we get these patients early, it is the most sensitive marker of COVID pneumonia. And once we know that their oxygen is starting to go down, if we, you know, bring them into the hospital, we get imaging, we see what their lungs look like. Many of them have only mild disease at that point. And we initiate dexamethasone and proning, turning patients on their stomach to improve their oxygen. What I believe and what the evidence is clearly showing now is that COVID pneumonia, recognized and treated earlier, has a far better prognosis than if you wait until the lungs are severely injured. And this is not rocket science. Every area of medicine, whether it's trauma, heart attack, stroke, infectious disease, if we can get patients before they have end organ injury, they will do much better. And that is exactly what we're learning with COVID.
Richard, I heard you mention the positioning of patients early in our conversation. Let's talk briefly about the mission of Prone to Help.
Yeah, so another thing that was worked out in New York City, even before I arrived, but, you know, I began experimenting with special proning cushions, which would allow patients who are large to comfortably lay on their stomach. What we've figured out in COVID is that the areas of the lung most affected by COVID pneumonia are the posterior lung fields and the lower lung fields. And the way to redistribute blood flow, open up those alveoli, and improve oxygen absorption is to have the patient assume different positions while they're receiving oxygen therapy. So, you know, their left side, their right side, but also proning, meaning stomach down. And so Prone to Help is an organization that actually started distributing proning cushions free to clinicians around the country. Currently, we have shipped over 1,500 cushions to more than 500 hospitals in all 50 states.
Now, is there a website where we can get some information about Prone to Help?
So it is the name, ProneToHelp.org, and that's P-R-O-N-E, the number 2, H-E-L-P.org.
Richard, always a pleasure speaking with you, always some great information, and we never have enough time. We'll be speaking again, and I thank you today.
Thank you for having me. You know, I think that as a country and as the new administration comes in, we really need to focus not only on vaccination, obviously, which is going to help take the wind out of this pandemic, but also how do we take the best care of the 15 to 20 million Americans who unfortunately are going to be exposed to COVID before this pandemic ends. Thank you much.
You've been listening to Health Professional Radio. I'm your host, Neil Howard. Audio copies of this program are available at hpr.fm and healthprofessionalradio.com.au. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Listen in, download a SoundCloud, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/healthprofessionalradio.